Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Are we all, what was it they used to say? Are we all seated comfortably?
Yes.
Then we'll begin. Yes. Then we'll begin. Let's pray, and then we will begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, just for the day and for church and for every soul that's here. And I pray your good hand upon us, please, and that you would be one of our number and that you would accompany, Lord, everyone that opens your word and preaches the full counsel of it, Lord. I pray you too, Father, that you would search our hearts and minds, Lord, that you would fix what needs to be fixed, that you would comfort what needs to be comforted, that you would encourage what needs to be encouraged, Lord, and convict what needs to be convicted. Lord, you know all our needs and you know all our wants and desires, and I pray you please, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and minds this day. I know, Father, there are plenty of people in trouble at the moment, I think especially on that minister over in England. For those folks that were across the town are not in trouble, at least I pray they're not in trouble. And for that pastor up in Canada, Lord, and I'm sure there's somebody in trouble down south for preaching whenever they had a state-sponsored church closing there for the past wee while. Lord, we really do need you and we covet your presence this evening. Please work in the hearts and minds of each one of us. Please, Lord, just pray your will be done here this evening. Thank you for your loving us and watching over us. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the free gift of everlasting life and the good sense to accept it. And Lord, we just pray that this whole service would be done in accordance of your will. We love you and thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Right. You want to take your hymn books and turn to... We'll start with one we all know, hymn number 226. 226 in the big books. I Find a Friend, 226.
I find a friend, oh, such a friend, he loves.
To work, to war. Is that a good one to get going with? Amen. Your vocal cords sufficiently loosened up. 111, next. This is a even newer. This is Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. I think Christy, I've led it once or twice, and Christy's led it once or twice as well. 111, Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. You'll know it whenever you hear the tune, or at least you'll remember it a wee bit, I hope. Side. Well, if you're good, you come on ahead.
Turn tonight to Isaiah chapter 47. Come down and sit on the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted my inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, now dost remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou art given to our pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thy heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none saith me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge it have perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to pull it off, and desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast laboured from thy youth, if so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels, that now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them, they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee, with whom thou hast laboured, even thy merchants, from thy youth. They shall wander everyone to his quarter, none shall save thee. Amen.
Man, it's not very often we're caught out for heat in this place, but I'm just looking at the temperature and it's hitting 70 today, so that's about 20 degrees in here, and it feels warm at 14 outside. So, amen. Just want to remind you all to make sure you have one of these little yellow prayer lists. Steve was saying earlier on he would appreciate prayers for his feet and legs again, as that infection has started to come back. So I think maybe because we see you here, when we see you in church, we think you're okay, and maybe we stop praying for these things. But do please start praying for Steve's feet and legs again, if you would. And of course for Pat, as she ministers to Steve.
That was good.
Hey, it's a two-man job, this marriage malarkey, so amen. In a good way, yes, most certainly in a good way. I would ask that you would, there's a lot going on in the world today, and just remember, when you hear anything bad about Israel in the news, it's a lie. A lot of the press have been saying bad things about Israel. They're lying. Israel is under attack by Muslims who hate you as well, and they are doing everything they can with money that has come from the United States of all places under grants via Iran for the nuclear deal to buy missiles to shoot one of their own greatest allies. So there's something wrong in America. I know nothing that couldn't be solved with the swift swing of a 2x4, but that is not my job. We are to pray for our leaders, whether they're fools, whether they're saved, we're to pray for them. And that means not just the leaders in our own country, but the leaders in all the countries in the world. Pick one and pray for them. You will not go amiss, almost certainly, in the free world, if down south, we had a practicing homosexual. Our country, we have a fornicator and an adulterer. In America, we have a liar, a thief, and a murderer, and a turncoat, and a traitor running the country. World's in a bad place, but the one thing I would say to you is the same things that's in the Word of God. When you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. All of these things point to the soon return of Jesus Christ. So please, please do make sure and take one of those. Don't forget the private prayer requests. Have a wee look at the private prayer requests and see if your name is there and you're happy with it being there, that's grand. If your name is there and you don't want it there, let me know. If your name isn't there and you want it there, stick your hand up and I'll make sure that your name's there. Those are for private prayer requests. We don't need any details, but the Lord knows and we will just remind him about that. Everybody here, I am sure, that knows the Lord is a private prayer request. Please do let us know and we will pray for you. Do pray for Monica's mom. She has her up and coming heart procedure in. She's going to find out this week. Sorry, I thought it was this week, but pray for her mom. She has an ablation of the arteries in, leading to the heart, and hopefully that will enable her to get a bit more blood pumping around her body in a less obstructive manner. And I think the doctors have said it could give her a new lease on life, so we'd appreciate your prayers for that. Anything else we need to be thinking on or praying about? If anybody wants any details about Louise, not Samantha, and her surgery, speak to Pat and Steve.
Louise is getting better. And Ellie is living with her auntie who has a bungalow because she can't use stairs.
Yep.
Until they actually get the house ready for her, but where they do that. So Ellie's on.
Good.
She's a little fighter from where I know her. Well, I knew that anyway. That's about it.
Course, grand job. Grand job.
Needs work, so.
Do you have a look through this? The ones that are under your name are for your management. If you don't tell us what goes on or what comes off, it could stay there for a donkey's age or until Monica and I decide to go through and do a bit of house cleaning on her prayer list. So make sure you have a wee look at those things and let us know. We all good? All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Then we'll sing another song or two. Steve, are you okay to pray, or do you want to give it a miss today? Give it a miss? You need us? Thanks, Will.
Jennifer, thank you for staying in the first night, Lord. Thank you for being safe into your presence tonight, Lord. Reveal the number of blessings and keep us, Lord, as we come to learn more about thee through the book of God that Mark's going to come out talk about tonight, Lord. Touch him with the Spirit, Lord, and touch our hearts, Lord, and bring us closer and more in line with thee, Lord. We're fast and brown with forgot about Frank, Lord, pray for him and keep him in his love, and deliver him from any trouble. Keep him busy, Lord, and draw him closer to thee, Lord, and pray for him and bless him and keep him, Lord. Pray for that, Lord, when he's in marriage, deliver him, keep him, Lord, provide for him, Lord, and minister him especially, and draw him closer to thee as well, Lord. And Lord, pray for Esther and Christy and Taylor, Lord, provide for him and keep him, pray for Taylor and Christy and Marky as they're over in the States, Lord, going to Hawaii, Lord, and Brief Marquis is going to come back to the UK, Lord. You have all joined mercy, Lord, for me, we'll keep them safe and well, and according to thy will, Lord, provide them with travel and mercy and keep them safe and well, Lord. Profess her in her health, Lord, and keep her safe, Lord, and bring her to church next point in time, Lord. He's just offering either discomfort, provide for her and keep her safe and well. Bring us this night, Lord, and give someone the message, Lord, and lay it up in our hearts, Lord, and use it mightily for thee, for the coming week in our lives, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. All right. Please take your hymn books if you would. Are you okay there, Brother Steve?
Yeah.
All right. 245. 245. The old account was settled. If you're able, let's stand as we sing.
What number, bro?
245. A time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago. The old account was large and growing.
because I came and settled, and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Oh, sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin, for thus he hath provided for you to enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it, you settled long ago.
Seated, thank you very much. If you want to swap books between your hymn book and your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis with me. I think it's Genesis chapter 3 we're in this evening. Genesis chapter 3, and I would like to spend a little while speaking on the subject of naturally. Genesis chapter 3, I want to read the first 9 or 10 verses. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. Sadly, the first two chapters of the book of Genesis are all up and up. And after that, it's downhill right until the last couple of chapters of the Bible. All our ups and downs, the things that people do, the stupid things they do, and the great things God has to do to bail them out. We are at the very, very start of man's troubles. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. Glad to have you. Plenty of places you could be this evening. I know the devil would certainly want you in plenty of places. But I'm glad to have you here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. We're going to stop there. Verse number 8 and 9, those are our texts this evening. I'm speaking on the subject of naturally, and we're reading in Genesis chapter 3. Let's pray and continue. Thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to spend time around your word. I pray you, Lord, that you'd open the ears of each and every one of us, myself included, and that you would speak to us, Lord. And if there's any bit in this service that applies to any of us, Lord, I pray that you would strike it hard and fast and deep in our hearts. And let us consider what your word has for us today. We love you and thank you. I pray for Mark as he travels, Christy and Taylor. I pray you, Lord, a wall of fire about them will protect them at this crucial time and the start of their lives together. Lord, please provision and protect your children, wherever we might be in the world. I pray that you would provision and protect, and divinely, Lord, Israel at this time too. I pray you, Father, please, that you'd give them the victory, and that you would give the people that's running the other countries the good sense to know when to step away. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, as well as for our private prayer requests for the Maboy Road Outreach, for Alan Leslie and for Pearl Hetherington, for Kate, Lord, and for Sally, for the many souls in this town that really do need you, for those that have received gospel tracts and heard your word preached, for those people that were preaching today, for our missionaries, Lord, and for those that would be a help to Christians. Lord, we pray that you would just put your good hand upon each and every one. Love you and thank you. Pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 John was just sharing with us in the car on the way to church that there's guys over the town with megaphones preaching the gospel. Amen. Amen. Pardon?
Full council?
Who knows? They're preaching the gospel. Amen. It might be a case of... I've heard stories of ones that are trying to survive in areas that may be stuck somewhere and they have to drink water out of an old stream or a pond. And they say, drink it anyway. It'll keep you going till you get somewhere where you can get antibiotics if you need them for drinking the water. But you need the water to avoid dehydration. Might be a case of that, I don't know. But either way, by all accounts, John was saying that a few people were actually stopping and listening. So just pray for those folks too. Could make all the difference in the world. Amen. Amen. This portion of scripture seems familiar to us because it has been a while since we looked at it, but this portion of scriptures is to do with the fall of mankind. Of course, the lies that the devil tells, and it's a half-truth, but it only had its effect because Eve didn't know the whole gospel. She added to the gospel and the devil knew, yep, there we go, there's the weak link. She's the one I need to be speaking to. God said don't eat of the tree. He never said you couldn't pull the fruit off the tree. And he never said you couldn't saw the tree down and make garden benches and a picnic table out of it. He said just don't eat of it. She said, God has said not to eat of it or even to touch it. So the devil knew there was a weak link there and she took of the fruit. The Bible actually says she gave to her husband who was with her. He was within arm's reach, and of course he knew, but he chose to go the way of his wife, and they both ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The devil's promise was, you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And do you know what? He was absolutely telling the truth. God knows what good and evil is. And they would be like God in as much as they would know what good and evil is. But from a very personal perspective, the same personal perspective we were speaking of this morning whenever we were talking about the blind man in John chapter 9, the gospel is personal. And the consequences of ignoring the gospel are very, very personal as well. It's not going to be like these rioters that we have everywhere. There's BLM, there's Antifa, there's some anti-Israel bunch of nuts over in London who think that they can say and do anything, and because they're with a crowd, no one will ever pick their face out of the crowd. But guarantee you, somewhere tonight, if anybody causes trouble, it'll not be too long before there's a herd at the front door. And there'll be two big lads standing there ready to escort them into the back of a van. Consequences of sin are just as personal and long-lasting as the blessings of salvation. Anyway, devil told them the truth. They got to know what good and evil was. They also got to die. Sadly, because of God's perfect work, it took them nearly 1,000 years to die. Adam lived, I think it was for 929 years. Not too long after creation it was that this happened. So 929 years with a sin nature, not a good way to be. The bit that I'm really interested in is verses 8 and 9. We know as we read on past 8 and 9, everybody started pointing fingers. You know, like children do. Did you do that? No, it was him. Was that you, Adam? Did you eat of the tree of knowledge of good? No, it was the woman that you made, Lord. She gave me she ate of the tree and she gave it to me and I ate it. And then he says to the woman, was that you? And she said, it was the snake that you made, Lord. It was the serpent that you made. It was him. You see the consequences of it. And here's a very interesting fact. This part of the Bible was recorded about 6,000 years ago. Maybe a little bit more than 6,000 years ago. And where it says about the snake, dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. It was only, in the last 100 years, they actually found the snake has a wee organ under its chin called the Jacobson's organ. And the snake doesn't smell like you or me. The tongue flicks out. And bits of whatever's in the air sticks to the tongue and he flicks it underneath the chin. And that is how he doesn't smell the air, he tastes the air. So 6,000 years ago, the Bible was scientifically up to date. Mankind has only found that out in the last 100 or so years. And you know the consequences for us. Adam made a mistake. Eve was deceived. We've been paying for it ever since. The devil's going to pay for it in the grand old ages of eternity. We're going to go past and say, is this the man that caused us all the trouble? That caused nations to crumble? Isaiah chapter 14. Anyway, verses 8 and 9 says, and this is after they'd both rebelled against God. And there are consequences for rebelling against God, even for Christians, for not listening to what God says. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Not because God didn't know where they were, but to give them an opportunity to come repenting. So this was a normal thing for God and for Adam and maybe even for Eve to walk in the garden in the cool of the day, and to fellowship with each other, to talk with each other. Now God doesn't quite work like that anymore. It would be great if it did, and I could guarantee you there'd be a lot more believers in the world. It's going to work like that again. In the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, God will walk in the face of this earth, and you as glorified, saved souls will walk in his name on the face of this earth. And do you remember the reactions that so many people had in the Bible when they were confronted with an angel? They fell on their faces. They were confronted with the glorified bodies of Moses and Elijah. Whenever Jesus was glorified in the top of the mountain, the disciples, oh no, what are we, Lord, should we make like a tent for you and Moses and Elijah? Three tabernacles for you. He said they were afraid. They didn't know what they were talking about. And imagine inspiring that amount of fear in people. God is going to, his presence will be felt in the 1,000-year reign, and probably more keenly for it not being felt for the 7 years on the run up to it. But this was a common thing. And the point I'm trying to make, up until this point, was perfectly natural. Did I say what the title of the message was, did I? Naturally. It was perfectly natural for God and Adam to walk and talk in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. I guess that's first thing in the morning, the cool of the day, when the sun hasn't quite gotten up and it hasn't started beating down. So maybe that's a good example of when we should be spending our time with the Lord in the early part of the day before the rest of the events of the day start to overtake us. But this was the natural state of man. This should be the natural state of man. And for who knows how long? Was it a day? Was it a few days? Was it a week, a month, a year? Was it a decade? I don't know. But it's just in line with the creation, and not long after, as we read this, that this all comes to an end. Now, I would hate to be the person that turns from the Lord. Can you imagine knowing the Lord as your Heavenly Father? Being able to go to Him in prayer, even walking down the street. Knowing that angels minister to you. The times when you think it's going rough, if you saw what was going on around and about you and the mighty spiritual battles being fought for you, you would be amazed. Or the times when things just happen to work out, or a little light bulb goes off in your head and something comes to your attention. You would be amazed to know that you can say your prayers, you can unburden your heart, and a peace that the world can't give, but a peace that only God can give, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. To know that, and the provision of God, the love of God, the assurance that He has you in the palm of His hand, to know all of those things, to know you're going to heaven, to know you have a purpose, reaching out to lost souls, and to turn your back on that. I don't know, has anybody here ever found themselves in a position where they have been apart from God? Those lines of communication are down. It's a powerful emptiness. Mm-hmm. An emptiness that the lost man doesn't understand, or should I say maybe even feel, because it's always been with him. But an emptiness that has been filled up in the Christian's life and then to be gone again. I wouldn't like to go back to that. Let me tell you, I had interesting times as a lost man just before I got saved. I was sharing with one of our Keep Fitters. Her name's Judith. You should have put that down. Name's on the prayer list. She and I got to speaking a wee bit, and I got to giving her a wee bit of my testimony. But this, here's a couple of things that happened to me as a lost man. I remember being in the Union Theological College, that's where they train Presbyterian ministers, having brown bags delivered with my name on them with books on witchcraft and Satanism. And I would be trying these things out in the Union Theological College. And I remember getting up out of my bed, and possibly might even have been sleepwalking around my room, and my room would have been about a half the size of this room, even to the height. Big old building. And I remember walking up to the wardrobe, and I remember seeing this thing like a big black blood clot with two eyes sitting on top of my wardrobe, and I thought, I just turn around and get back into bed, because every child knows when you get into bed and pull the quilt over your head that you're completely safe. Isn't that the way it works? It doesn't really, but every child thinks it does. These things started happening. Mm-hmm. And then three nights in a row, I woke up. First two were in a dream. Got out of my bed in a dream. Walked to the window in a dream, which would have been the height of that high there, about 12 foot, and flew out into the street. Flew around the trees. There were other people out there. And then flew back in and went to bed again. Two nights in a row. Third night, I got up out of my bed and walked to the window, just like I had in my dreams previous nights. And I stood at the window, but this time I hesitated. And I got to thinking, this feels a bit too real for me. And I worked it out in my head. Now, it was
Sleepwalking, you know, sometimes your brain doesn't work properly whenever you're sleeping, because you're sleeping. And a wee voice said to me as I stood there, jump. Go on, jump. And I thought, do you know what? If I'm in a dream and I jump out of here and fly down the road, great. But if I'm not in a dream and I jump out of that window and I land on the pile of gravel just underneath the window, I'll either be dead or I'll have two broken legs or a broken back in the morning. That's only a 50% success rate. I'm just going to get back into my bed. That's 100% success rate. That scared me.
Even as a saved soul, before I started coming to Bethel, I remember seeing things at the foot of the bed. And I remember sitting up in my bed at night. You ever get those, your heart pounding through your chest? Mm-hmm. Woke up with the night terrors on me, if you like. And I remember laughing and saying, you can't have me. I belong to Jesus. I didn't have that back in the day. And I would hate to have to go back to that. I am glad I found the natural state of man, which is to be walking and talking with Jesus Christ. However, there are many that haven't. The natural state of man at the moment is pretty much summed up in 2 Peter 3 and 2 Timothy 3, where men are proud and covetous and boasters, unthankful, unholy, no natural love or affection. It goes on to give a wee word about a lot of the ministers in this world who are nothing but traitors. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of the gospel to save not just you for eternity, but your life right now. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, it pretty much says the same thing. In the last days, perilous times will come. And we're here. And it gives a litany of how people think, oh, it's all about me. And if I don't get what I want, the world should literally grind to a halt until I get what I want. And that's the way a lot of people feel. And even more so with the isolation that many have been feeling the past year and a half. They have spent far too long thinking about themselves. And then they're made afraid of their neighbours, of their brothers, of their mothers and fathers and sons and daughters. Oh, you've got COVID. Don't want to talk to you. Don't want to come see you. Don't want to hold you or hug you. But that's the state of the world. In Isaiah 14, where we spoke about what we will be able to, someday we'll be able to walk past the devil, remember, and say, is this the guy that caused us all the trouble, that caused nations to tremble? Just later on, it talks about the five I wills of the devil, where the devil literally wants to be God. Make up all the rules and do everything the way he wants to do it. Be above everybody else and dictate terms to everybody else. That's what the devil wants to do. And let's be honest, that's what a lot of lost people want to do too. I want what I want, and until I get what I want, I won't be happy. That is what the Bible says. It's what we can see as we look around. And there are very real consequences for it. The book of Jude, well worth a read. We read that the other day as part of the Bible study. It has a list describing people in the last days. And you know what it calls lost souls? Brute beasts. Ignorant of the things that are talked about regarding their souls. Brute beasts. Do you know what brute beasts do? Whatever the first thing is that comes into their minds. They have no self-control. There's no catching a hold of yourself and listening to reason. Even the Pharisees that we spoke about this morning, they had in their minds what was right, and no matter the evidence, even a miracle from God in heaven, when he healed the blind man, was not enough to shake them a bit and get them to look at things clearly and honestly.
brute beasts. And you know what it says in Romans chapter 1? These brute beasts that think of nothing but thrills and pleasure and sensation. Do you know what God said? He said, not only do they do these things, they get a kick out of doing it. God said, I'll just give them over to a reprobate mind. I'm not going to bother with them anymore. I'm not going to convict them. I'm not going to put my finger on Mark's shoulder or Monica's shoulder or Norman's or Pat's or Steve's or Will's or John's or anybody else's. I am not going to say, go and tell that guy the gospel. I'm not going to do it. The Holy Spirit is not going to stop off and say, you need to be saved. I'm not going to do it. There's only one thing worse than being a lost man. And that's being a lost man that God has washed his hands of. And God says there's people like that in the world. They're natural brute beasts. Unregenerate, lost, Christ rejecters, at the mercy of their sin nature and the first thing that goes through their heads. You know what the Bible says about them? It says they are going to hell in the lake of fire. Jesus said there's two gates. There's a wee narrow gate that's called the straight gate. That leads to life. And we'll come to that in a bit. But there's a broad gate, a wide road that leads to destruction. And the reason it is so wide is because you can carry anything through there. You can carry it sideways, you can carry it long ways, you can carry it up vertically. You can carry alcohol through there, you can carry immorality through there, you can carry violence, thefts, lies, murders, adulteries, paganism. You can carry everything through there. You can even carry religion through there. But it all leads to hell and the lake of fire. The natural end of the brute beast is in Revelation chapter 20, where it talks about all, every single one of them, whether they're the King and Queen of England, the President of America, Japan, China, or Russia, every single soul that's dead in trespasses and sins, all the dead, small and great, standing before the great white throne of judgment. It's not a roll call for the zombies and the walking dead. It's people that are dead in trespasses and sins. Everybody whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they are all going into the lake of fire. All of them. No matter the excuse, if you're there with no robes of righteousness, still with your sin nature, and your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, it doesn't matter if you built every church in the world. It doesn't matter, 1 Corinthians 13, if you give your body to be burned, or you're simply the most talented person that's ever walked on the face of this earth. If you're not saved, it doesn't matter.
That's true.
And it's not because God hates people, he loves people. God hates sin. And if sin is your God, then you're on the wrong side of eternity. Forget history. You're on the wrong side of eternity. Mm-hmm. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses I think it's 7, 8, and 9, Paul tore a strip off the church. He says, I want for you to know that liars and thieves and murderers and effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind are not getting into the kingdom of heaven. No way. And I am sure it might well have been one of those pin drop situations, because a lot of people in the congregation have been involved in those things. But he goes on, he doesn't stop there. He says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified through Jesus Christ by repenting of your sins and trusting in Christ as your Savior. That's the only way. The natural end of these lost souls is hell and then the lake of fire. And we don't take joy in that. If you're any Christian at all, there'll be many's a name that you're calling out to be saved. There'll be many's a door you've put a leaflet through. There'll be many's a person has heard your voice pleading with them to get saved. Think of those men, John, that you saw. Did you see them too, Carol? Across the town. But think, as long as you take notice in here, we don't mind about not taking notice when you're out and about. Every single one of those folks has a chance. Every single one. But every single one that does nothing with that chance is destined for the natural end of the old man, hell and the lake of fire. And it's not nice. It's an awful life to live. And it's an awful end to have. And it is, as Voltaire said, a fearful step off into the darkness. One of the smartest men that ever lived, the reason we have lights, mobile phones, computers, was for his studies into electricity, said on his deathbed, "I take a fearful leap into the darkness." Smartest man that ever lived, not that smart. Along with all of the others. There was one other man, I think it was in Switzerland, who said one day the Bible would be obsolete and his basement got turned into a printing press for Bibles. Then there's us. Then there's the soul that says, "Do you know what? I hate the fact that when I look at Christians, I see something more than what I have. I see people with a purpose. I see people that are sometimes, you know, Teflon coated. A lot of the things that other people worry about just run off and don't leave a mark. I see people that can go to their beds at night. I see people that can stand up and say no to the whole world, because the whole world has come out saying something different to what the Bible says. And they don't care. Because let God be true and every man a liar. If you have learned something in the Bible, it's true whenever it was written, about 2,000 years ago. Whenever it was said, maybe a few years before that. Whenever Christ died on the cross, whenever the Bible was finished, whenever the Bible was translated into English, and whenever the Bible was put in your hands, it's still true. And it's still good if God said it. Mm-hmm. There's many as a person has stood up and said, "Oh, you don't need that. Should I be struck dead right now," if that's even a right thing to say in a church. My old Presbyterian minister, Campbell Wilson, said to my brother, "You don't need to be worrying about salvation." His children ran mad. I don't even know if he's still alive, but I would certainly say to you with my hand, my heart, that was not a saved man. And I don't think his replacement is either. What's the natural end? What's the natural end of the saved soul? Well, whenever you tell God that you're so sorry for your sins, you want them gone, and you'd like to be saved, this is what happens. You get a new nature. You get the Holy Spirit living within you. All day, every day, until the day you die. Until the day your body gives up, and you, hand in hand with the Holy Spirit, go up to heaven. That's what you get. Seals you to the day of redemption. He's called another comforter by Jesus Christ for a good reason, because he is a comforter. When everybody else won't have anything to do with you, and only God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and a few saved souls that bother taking time on their hands and knees or in the Word of God are the only ones that you can speak to as brothers in Christ for company. It
It makes a difference. What is the natural end of that person? We know the natural end of the brute beast. But whenever you get saved and the Holy Spirit takes up residence, you become a new creature. You're not a brute beast anymore. It's not just the spirit of man. What is it? I think it's in, is it in Job where it talks about, yeah, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. It is our sin nature. But the word of God says whenever you're saved, you become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your clothes, which you maybe looked at before, maybe weren't quite up to snuff with all the latest fashions. You don't care really whenever you're saved. You desire to be covered modestly and warm in the cold weather, but you're not worrying about the latest fashions. I am afraid I discovered that whenever I lost a few pounds and my suits going back possibly 30 years, I was suddenly glad to have them again. They were like brand new suits. All things are become new. Happy days. You got a new life to lead. You have a new direction you're going. You have a new purpose. Instead of filling your gullet with food, with money, with glory, with power, with wealth, with stuff, you get to preach the gospel to every creature.
Sure.
Whether it's your neighbor, your kids, your husband, your wife, your parents, that's your job. To speak to the people around and about you about the God that saved your soul. That is the greatest job on the earth. The greatest job. It's the one that God came doing. It's the one that he gave his life to. And it's the one thing that makes the difference in any soul. So we're not the brute beasts. We're a new creature. There's obviously a new end. The natural end for new creatures in Christ. I want to tell you what it is. But before that, I want to mention a few of the things that you get as a new creature in Christ. We gave a few hints earlier on. You get a glorified body in heaven. But in the meantime, you get the company of God Almighty. The friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You get the ministrations of angels. The angels are ministering spirits sent to those that are heirs of salvation. That's saved souls. You get the comfort and the wisdom and the direction of the very word of God. You get a family right the way across the world. You get for everything that you think you're going to lose and you're going to pine for. When you're prepared to walk away from it or give it up or whenever you're prepared to let it go, something that's 100 times better in its place. Even if it's only, in quotes, a walk and a talk with God Almighty. You get to come to church and listen to fantastic preachers or me, whichever. You get to look at the Bible and literally the words to jump off the page at you. Because they resonate with you. They mean something to you. Where they didn't mean anything to you before. More importantly, you get to go to heaven when this is all over. And you get to know that every day of your life that God has you in the palm of his hand and you are going to heaven no matter what happens in your life. But for all of that, our lives are a little bit like a garden. Does anyone remember Romans 1:20 where it says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, even as eternal power and Godhead, being understood by those things that are made, you and me. In other words, creation preaches that there is a God. And we need that. But our lives are like a garden. It's all very well pulling the weeds,
But the weeds will come back unless you take the place that the weeds once grew and put something good in their place. And that means your Christian duty to yourself and your Christian duty to the Lord. And that includes whatever he would have you do. This is the natural life of a Christian, walking and talking with God. And not just in the cool of the day, but every moment of the day. But a home in heaven forever. A glorified body. All the people you said goodbye to that you knew were going to heaven in this world, you get to see them again. The angels that came to visit the prophets in the Bible, and Jesus himself. Whenever you step off this mortal coil into eternity, and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Every single trouble, every single boring service, every time I opened my mouth and you rolled your eyes, you will say it was worth it all. Every time someone called you a Moses or a Holy Joe or a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness, isn't it sad that they don't call you a Christian for going around and knocking the doors? And every time somebody laughed at you and called you names and made a fool out of you because of God, you will say, man, I would go back and do that again 10 times if only I had known what God had for me in heaven. You get to see Jesus. You get to see the angels. You get to see those souls that went on ahead trusting in Christ as their Savior. And I have a notion you may even get to look down on this earth. Might get to see who shot Kennedy. And there was one other one. The Bermuda Triangle. Might get to see that as well. I would say life would be more interesting than any TV show. But we get to see all of those things. And then whenever God says he's good and ready, we get to come back to this earth. And every single soul that sees you will know you. Isn't it funny how Moses and Elijah, the disciples, knew exactly who they were? They didn't have them on WhatsApp or Facebook. They didn't hold their phones up and check their profile picture against them. They knew who they were. And people will say, Steve, is that really you? And you'll say, of course it's me. Did I not tell you all the things? Do you not see this glorified body? It's different to the busted up one that I had 7 years ago. We'll all be saying it. I'll be saying, this is what I was telling you about. Every single thing I told you is true. Your only hope is to get right with God. Someday you'll get this too. That's a natural end of the Christian. And it's not going to be boring playing harps in the clouds and doing this, that. Now, there's streets of gold to be walked. There's people to be fellowship with. But more importantly, there's God to praise and God to obey. And every day is going to seem like a day on the farm. A holiday. Friends, there is a natural end to everything in this world. The lost is hell in the lake of fire. The saved is doing God's will, walking and talking with him, and then a home in heaven with him forever. And the best of it all, it's your choice. It's not mine. I've made up my mind. I want you in heaven, otherwise I wouldn't be standing here like in Egypt, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. I wouldn't be doing that. The guys across the town wouldn't have bothered. If they were just happy rubbing their hands and said, I'm saved, and all those people that gave me a hard time, I'm going to make sure they go to hell. They don't do that. What folks saved? Because that's not the natural end of the Christian. That's the natural life of the Christian. Not just to love the brethren, but to display the same love that the Lord showed us when we were lost. Anyway, thank you for your good time. God bless you. We're stopping there. We'll sing a song. If anybody has a suggestion, I'm willing to entertain it and attempt to sing it. Pardon? I thought we'd sung that. No. Okie doke. Oh, I have it here. There we go. Hymn number 340.
340, if you're able, let's stand as we sing. If you're not, remain seated and make a joyful noise.
For your good time again. God bless you. Let's bow our heads and we will be dismissed with a word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for our time in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for all the heads that are bowed and the eyes that are closed. And Lord, we pray that you would see your will done in our lives. If there's souls listening to this here or on CD or on the internet that don't know you as Savior, pray you, Lord, that you'd put the pieces together in their hearts and just have them trust in you and you alone. Lord, bless us as we go our separate ways. Bless not just our own missions outreaches, Lord, but the Cosgraves, the Christian Institute, and the Kids for Schools, and the many others that there are. Those missionaries that are in far off fields, please provision them, Lord, I pray. Lord, please protect those that really need you. Please, Lord, let us be firebrands in these last of the last dark days. And Lord, we just leave these things at your feet, along with our private prayer requests and petitions. And we ask that you would grant them according to your will. Please see us safely home, Lord, and back at the next appointed time. We love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Amen, folks. We are dismissed. God bless you.